Yeah, so I did have a song. I saw this one the other day. It's not my traditional song. This is actually just a proper song. And it's an old song, and I'll probably screw it up. But it's dedicated to gin. So,
Okay.
So hopefully...
the alcohol or the person from Lost?
The person. Gin. The person. We'll have to...
Not gin. Gin.
Oh, gin. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, no disrespect. I legit thought you said gin.
not gin. Gin.
And so...
That's see, this is the introduction from a Ramblecast, if any. That's just that's just like the Tennessean way of saying gin is gin.
It's gin, yeah.
That's very... That's
like, it's like there's no such thing as pin and pen, or pin and pen. It's right. Just pin. That's all. It's just one word. Anyway. All right. So, like I said, I'll probably mess it up, but here we go. Though the days are long, twilight sings a song of the happiness that used to be. Soon my eyes will close, soon I'll find repose, and in dreams you're always near to me. I'll see
was really beautiful.
Well, thank you. Old song. I've always loved it. And, you know, you don't hear many people play it, but I've always liked it. And after she passed, so everyone out there, I don't know, a good friend of all of ours who kind of in a way helped Jay and Jack start their podcast passed away of cancer last week. And so I just kind of wanted to dedicate something to her because she was a really sweet and beautiful person. So anyway. Sorry to start the podcast on sad note, but yeah.
It needed to be said, and
that was awesome, dude.
Great job. Awesome. Great job.
I think anybody that's been part of the Lost community has heard her voice and they've been touched by her in some way. And that's just
she's the podcast mom. Like
she's the queen.
She's the queen. She started all of this, man.
At least from my perspective in this whole community, she started it.
And like you said, it's just the nicest person
it's ever.
My pleasure ever to meet.
Yeah, and I don't know if
they might probably not listening to this, but you know, heart goes out to you know Ryan and
family. It's you can't put words to describe
what people might be going through, what they've gone through. They've gone through so much in the last 10 years.
Fighting it for 10 years. That's just...
And, you know,
I think
the song kind of summed it up perfectly, Nick. That was awesome.
Good job, Nick.
Thank you.
Smartest thing you've ever done on this show.
Well, for anyone out there who wants a proper version of that song, the one that I kind of copied is by a man named Joe Brown, and he does it on the ukulele as well, and it's a very good version of it.
So actually, you know, after
I had scheduled this for a while ago to get my tattoo redone a little bit, touched up a little bit. When I found out I couldn't get the painting that my daughter was going to do, so I went end up, you know, booking a session to touch up the.
Oh, you couldn't do the painting?
No, it wasn't going to work because of the style of the painting and how. Well, how tattoos work, really.
It's hard to get watercolor.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to get watercolor to work in a way that's going to not turn to shit in a couple of years. So yeah. I did go and get my existing tattoo work done, which is the breast cancer pink ribbon. And I had that done last week. It was actually before Jen had passed. But right after I had heard from Ryan that Jen was going into hospice care at home or under family. So, I originally got it from my wife but now I think it's more for everybody, you know, who's gone through, what, you know, my family's gone through and unfortunately what Yosawa's have gone through for the last 10 years, but got some work done on it.
Oh,
nice. And,
yeah, I think I saw you post an Instagram of it,
So it's he put an outline on it, mm-hmm. which didn't have prior,
and really, there's a little bit more shadow to it, isn't it?
Some more shadow, and there's definitely some more enhanced whites and pinks and reds in there too to make it pop a little bit more. So I'm mm-hmm. very pleased with it, and it came out pretty nice.
Looks nice.
Yeah, so
just in time for October breast cancer awareness.
Yeah. Is that October?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I think so.
Because I always know
because baseball and NFL cross over on it, don't they?
That's right. That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think anybody, I feel like it's like with COVID, like at this point, someone knows someone who's battled breast cancer.
Yeah.
You know, I know my aunt did, and successfully went into remission. You know, but for her. It was the fact that she was going through cancer treatment and dealing with breast cancer. And then my mom died, her sister. So it was like her closest sibling. And it just, and my mom's death was just out of the blue, like just no warning whatsoever. And so, you know, it's one of those things that we've talked about, my aunt and I, you know, just about that, you know, she's like, I was going through this. So my mind was on me. And then that happened and it makes you feel right. Like, oh, there's other people or there's other, and she just wasn't, I mean, my mom wasn't in bad health at all. You know, it wasn't like there was a warning sign, like,
right.
Oh, she was ill. And then all of a sudden, you know, it was out of the blue. So, so I just think about like that idea of, yeah, like we all know someone or will know someone too. Mm. That's the thing is that if you haven't, like, I feel like it's only a matter of time until someone crosses your path that's close in your life. So,
yeah.
And Sherry mentions in the chat that her aunt died and grandmother as well. So,
which leads me to share the, you know, the often said and but also often, you know, underestimated power of early intervention. Mm. You know, and my very fortunate, and my wife is very fortunate that we by accident fell upon the fact that she had had breast cancer. You know, long story short, we wouldn't have known if we hadn't been trying to have our second kid. And right. Fast forward through a bunch of crazy unexpected appointments and exams, we found it, right? And had we not, you know, she would never have had, you know, the proper, you know, screenings until she was probably in her later 30s or even today. My wife is now 40. And had we not stumbled across it, my wife would be dead today, you know, and be a part of that statistic. And so as somebody who's, you know, my family and my wife have benefited from that early intervention. I can't stress enough how important it is to get yourself checked out. Don't look at the 40-year-old mark as the time that you should go and get checked out. Get checked out. And that, this goes for guys too. This isn't just breast cancer. This goes for all types of cancer. I lost my dad to cancer this past year, and that was a case in which it wasn't caught soon enough. So many things can be done if the timing is right.
I mean, it's funny because you say like check yourself, because I remember back in the early 2000s or late 90s when Tom Green was like still famous, and he got testicular cancer at like 28 or 27, and I remember like him giving an interview how like that really changed his life from being just the silly stupid guy he was to where like he still was like, this is how you need to check, guys. Like, because this can affect you. He's like, because everyone, when you're young, you think you're going to live forever. Right. You don't think nothing will ever affect you. And he's like, especially when you're in your 20s, you think nothing's going to.
Oh, for sure. I mean, the things that I did in my younger 20s, it was fortunate that I was still like doing things like going to the dentist regularly, let alone like going to a doctor.
And now that you're in your
dentist regularly.
Now that you're in your 50s,
yeah, for real,
you go to the doctor more often.
You need to get that colonoscopy soon.
Yeah, and Randy makes 44, Randy makes a good point.
I just had one about a year ago.
Yeah, Randy makes a good point in the chat. Get your butt checked too, man. Colonoscopies at 40 instead of 50s are recommended, and like. Yeah, I mean, obviously, getting a colonoscopy is probably one of the least desirable procedures that you want to go through.
But can I say something? I've done it twice, and it is really no big deal. It's the hard part is drinking that stuff that makes you poop nonstop. Because the last one I did when I had that thing where my blood was low or whatever, and I had they gave me and I had to do double dosage of that stupid stuff to drink. And it's like salty. It's terrible. They're like, when you got to guzzle it, I go, this whole jug.
Yeah.
it's like, I don't drink this much water in a week. And you want me to drink this whole jug of stuff. And it's after I was done, I go, can I at least take a shower first before you go in there?
How much weight did you lose after all that?
I think I gained weight because
of the jug.
Because you're always so full of shit. So, anyways,
that was where I was after the procedure was over. I'm in the recovery little area. It was actually a big room, a big section, and they woke me up because I was snoring. They go, "You were snoring." I go,
"Well,
okay." It's the first sleep I've had in 24 hours because I'm in a hospital.
Yeah.
Get some rest.
Sherry mentions in the chat too, men can also
get
breast cancer, which is true, very true. Especially in the similar cases that my wife experienced. So my wife was BRCA, she has the BRCA1 gene, which is a genetic anomaly that is found most commonly in the Ashkenazi Jewish heritage, which my wife is. And there's a significant percentage of Ashkenazi Jewish women who have this genetic mutation, and men can have it as well.
0.002%.
Yeah, and then the percentage of people who have that genetic mutation that then develop breast cancer and then even later ovarian cancer is like 97%.
Wow.
So, so my wife had the all of her treatment, double mastectomy, chemotherapy, the whole nine. And she also a year after Jackson was born, she had a hysterectomy as well, preventatively.
Right.
And which was fucking mind blowing. So we went in for her hysterectomy. I think her appointment was at like 9:30 was the surgery time. So we got to the hospital at 7, got there early.
Did you take pictures?
No. So she went in, had her procedure at 9:30, and we were discharged by 11.
Yeah, my wife had the same thing. Bananas. Really, really quick. Except my wife, they were, we were just talking about this the other day. I was sitting by the phone waiting for her I was in the waiting room. And I was answering the phone for, I was giving all the other families, okay, you can go see your loved one. But I'm just still sitting there. And the whole thing is because my wife, when she wakes up from anesthesia, she's just white as a ghost. They didn't want me to see her that way. I go, remember from the beginning when I said, it's okay. I've seen her this way. And I go, don't let her be alone. But it is what it is.
So when we were planning to have we were planning, did she wear blue jeans to the hospital? Is Randy's question. When we were planning, just cut them right off.
Yeah.
When we were planning to have Jackson, Jackson's actually an IVF baby. So we did embryo freezing prior to Amanda's chemotherapy. So Jackson was technically conceived back like 5 years, 6 years ago.
Does he have cold chills a lot?
Yeah. So we always say he's always been a really chill baby.
Yeah. Cool. So like, yeah, he's
almost seven, right?
Is that what you're saying? Exactly. Technically. Yeah. He's technically almost 7 years old.
Yeah.
But frozen in time. But prior to the selection of the embryos that we use, we did a DNA screening. I think I probably covered this before, but it's just really interesting because like we did the DNA screening. So they were able to take all the embryos and see which ones had my wife's genetic mutation, the BRCA1 gene, and then not use one from that selection of the embryos, which is pretty fucking cool.
It's this is like future science that back when we were kids just –
We were talking about Gattaca because that's what brought me. I remember us talking about this a couple years ago.
Yes.
So we started talking about Gattaca.
And Emma has a 50% chance that she has this genetic mutation. However, we're not going to be looking into this until she becomes an adult. Then we can make the necessary changes and precautions. So a lot can change in the medical field between now and 10 years. So
By the way, I also always thought that being a mutant was much cooler. You know what I mean? Like, uh-huh. And then the reality is like, oh no, like we don't get cool superpowers with being a mutant.
We're all mutants.
Yeah. What does that mean? You're holding up your thumbs.
Opposable thumbs.
What do you think this is, man? Opposable thumb is a mutation.
Yeah. Oh, now I got to look at this all day. All day. Oh,
great. Yeah. So
I mean, it's millions of years ago, but still, you know.
Oh man, now it's bugging me.
I speaking of genetic mutations and my hand, I was going through. I found my baby book, and I was going through like a bunch of old boxes and just kind of sorting through stuff. I find my baby book, and I kid you not, there is a section in there, and this is where my mom wrote in like all of the things like at 1 month, at 4 months.
He's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Well, I was also kind of curious about genealogy and just like learning who my great grandparents are. I ran across like some old photos of my great grandparents as well as
Can you hold them up so we can see them?
Oh, so this would be my great great grandparents. So on my mother's side. So the Bierderstedt.
Is he wearing glasses?
Bierderstedt. No, but he's got a pocket watch chain. So.
He sure does.
He's definitely not wearing jeans.
I have to show you though my
he doesn't go sledding.
This is my great grandmother
these all look turn of the century.
Her hair, yeah, it would have been turn of the century. They got married in 1909. Her hair is like something out of Star Wars.
Yeah.
So
it's very Victorian.
I should say Mickey Mouse.
So 2 years ago. So I'm looking at stuff in my baby book, and I'm also kind of curious to know about when I had surgeries on my hand, because I've been told things and I don't know of all of the surgeries of everything that they do. I know some things, you know, and my earliest memory is from a surgery. Mm-hmm. So, which is terrifying, which is why I remember it. But this is the funniest thing though. At 1 month, the doctor put me on a diet.
Oh, that's because you were a chunky baby, right?
I was apparently a really fat baby.
Well, I think you showed us a picture of you after we recorded, and you were a little chunky monkey.
In my baby book, it says put on diet, and then this is the funniest thing. It says my mom wrote this.
Too many doctors, bees knees.
Doctor says that babies that are overweight under a year old will become obese later in life.
Nah. Well, they're wrong about you, huh? Yeah.
So then and then at 4 months they took me off the diet. Which I feel like had I not been put on a diet, perhaps I'd be an inch taller.
You'd be huge.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like what? They held me back.
Why don't you like six? You're 6'7".
Could have gone to the Olympics.
No,
or
I'm
something.
6'4", but thank
6'4".
You.
6'4".
Yeah.
you get a gold medal in Olympic sledding.
Exactly.
Look. Oh, because look
of, and you have they look USA. And he's wearing USA,
USA Ralph Lauren jeans.
Exactly.
Made in China.
Well, anyway, I thought it was kind of funny that I was put on a diet as a baby. It's an oddity.
Did they have like a little baby treadmill for you to crawl on?
I was 1 month. I could barely, you know, do much of anything.
Stop it did that fat fuck. Come on.
It does go into pretty like detail. At least she wrote it out, and then at some point she stopped writing them out. And I think it's just
what were they feeding you at 1 month?
I know, other than milk.
Breast milk.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, he likes the titties.
He needs to go to bed.
Wean him off the breast milk. Anyway,
it's my turn, goddamn kid.
they tried extending my hand by using a like a cast almost, but not a cast. Like it was kind of like they were trying to open it up. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. And from November,
this is a baby, right?
This is as a baby. Yeah. I'm not even a full year yet. So I was born in October. They start in November, they stop in February. It says that the splint or the brace, as she wrote, was no longer doing anything, and so that I still couldn't open up my hands.
What do you think about if you were born today?
Well, for one, the next step. So after they stop with the brace, I read this line, and it, trust me, I was just like, ugh. And it happened to me as a baby. They went in and they snipped the skin under my fingers, thinking that that was holding me back.
Uh-huh. So they were just experimenting.
They were just experimenting on my hand.
Oh man!
So they cut that, and then they put that in a brace to see if that would work. So eventually, they put pins in my fingers. So and they
as a baby,
and my
fucking hell.
My dad remembers when they took him out because he was holding me and he could feel
the tension or
he could feel the vibration of the pin against my bone.
Gotcha. I think I would be sobbing the whole time.
Not to mention he was probably struggling to hold you.
Well, no, I think because like you don't want your child ever being pain.
Because you were heavy.
I couldn't.
I had to hold my kid to give blood once. Like they had to draw blood for like, you know, blood tests or whatever. And that was probably like in the top five worst experiences of my life. I can't fucking imagine what your dad must have felt.
So I had to hold the kids down for shots and stuff like that. And I just like,
oh yeah, the shots, but then blood draw is worse. Cause it's
cause they have no idea. Like they don't have obviously their babies are just goo goo gaga. They're not even talking. They can't even express themselves. Yeah. And to do that, fuck, it was the worst. I had to do it with my daughter and with my son for, you know, they're testing for, you know,
right.
Various blood issues or whatever. Yeah. And that was it was awful.
Your wife went through,
right?
So,
It's no fun.
My earliest memory, and I'll move on from these surgeries, is from a nurse holding me and trying to calm me down because I'm in a crying fit, essentially. And they get me over to the table, and they actually strap my arms down. And they put the gas mask over my mouth, and I remember hyperventilating into the ether, and I remember the taste of that, and it's not great, but you know, I mean, what early memories are great? I mean, it has to be something that's like
something traumatic,
like something that kind of stands out that you remember, because
mine is very similar. You know, I had to have eye surgery when I was 5 and 6, and down in Memphis, and I remember two things very distinctly. One, like what you're saying, I remember going into the operating room, and it was, you know, it's a children's hospital, and I remember them having this wall of toys, and said, "You can pick a toy, and once you're out of surgery, we'll give it to you." You know, and I remember picking out the toy, and I remember them asking me like, "What flavor gas did I want?" You know, and like they gave me strawberry, and I remember them putting it over me, and then
you're like Corona.
Yeah,
did it taste like strawberry?
It tasted like strawberries, yeah. And I remember counting back. You know, it was like, you know, count back from 15 or something like that. I remember just being out after like 3, you know. And I remember that, and I remember what you're talking about as a child. I remember after the surgery, because I think I've actually told this once a long time ago. I remember going out into the hallway, and I've got like, you know, half my head is covered. And so I'm just looking at my left eye, and I remember like drawing on like probably a chalkboard. And the two kids that were drawing on it with me were completely bald. And I remember that. But at the time, you're not thinking about that. You're just thinking it's a kid to play with.
Right.
You know? And it wasn't until later in life that I realized, you know, that those kids had cancer. And I don't know if they lived or died or what. You know, yeah. You just think it's just someone you're playing with and you're having fun.
Yeah.
And so it's things like that I remember.
I remember... God, that's awful. I remember sledding in my behind my friend's house. That was not intentional. It was legitimate sledding behind my friend's house, and I it was, you know, one of those one piece, like, you know, molded plastic sleds that had like arm bar, you know, handlebars in the front, but the plastic didn't actually move. It was just little handles that you could like hold on to. I did not make that mental connection while choosing the sled to go down the hill with. And I thought, oh, I could like maneuver with this thing, right?
Right.
I must have been like 5 or 6. No, probably older than that. I wouldn't be going sledding by myself if I was 5 or 6. Probably like 7 or 8 years old. And behind his house and going down this cool, this hill. And then, like, looking back at that hill when I was older, I look and I go, who the fuck let us sled down this hill? it was, like, nothing but trees with, like, this one, like, narrow-ass path that you, if you could maneuver like a sled master, you could probably get through this without injury. And
they were training you early.
Yeah. And I was not that kid. Right. So I went sledding down this cool sled that looked like it had a steerability, but it didn't. And I went fucking headfirst into a tree.
Ooh. And my friend's father, who,
shit. I mean, man, this is kind of a little bit of a morbid episode thus far. So my friend's father, who actually, passed away when we were kids from Lou Gehrig's disease. He was there. He was healthy at the time, and he was there, and he picked me up. And I'll never forget the look on his face when he picked me up. And it was like, oh, fuck. Like, he was like, he went white seeing me.
Oh, right.
Like, and right. Like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. I'm not, you know, I have definitely had a concussion, right, as a kid. I had a red jacket, except my jacket wasn't red, but it was red at the time, right, type of thing. It was just covered in blood. And he carried me home. Like, I'll never, ever forget this. And it was because it was before that my parents renovated the kitchen. So it's kind of like an old school 80s style kitchen. And I remember being placed in the sink because I was bleeding everywhere. And they're trying to stop my head from bleeding. I remember looking at my mom being like, I don't want to go to the hospital. I'm not going to the hospital right now. I'm not going to the hospital. Right? I don't want to go to the hospital. And she's like, no, you're not going to go to the hospital. They're like, get him the fuck to the hospital. Like, right? Yeah. And I did. And I actually, I don't know if you can see it right there.
Yeah.
I mean, it explains a lot about you.
Fuck off.
Is it the wrinkle here? Or is it goes up?
So it started right here. And you can kind of see a faint line, but it goes all the way up here, which is why.
When you ran your finger across it, which is why
my hairline is definitely receding more on this side because of scar
tissue. Dude, you're fucking Harry Potter.
I know, right?
That's like a Harry Potter thing, man.
I do. Yeah, I have a Harry Potter-ish scar on my head from not steering clear of a fucking oak tree.
Jack's over here like, whatever, you're stupid.
Chris has a Horcrux in his head.
Oh shit, yeah. Will's aunt passed from ALS on Saturday.
Sorry, Will. So sorry, Will. Okay, fuck. Let's write the ship here.
Okay. Then let's take a commercial break.
Good call. And we're back.
So, what else you want to talk about here?
I've just found
some old newspapers. Found one dating back to 1859.
That's cool.
Yeah, the Paulding Eagle, out of Paulding, Ohio.
I was reading the chat. What did you say from 1859?
I found a newspaper. Just in my heirlooms that I found that my mom left. Or just little things, you know, newspaper clippings and whatever. So it must have been passed down through the family.
Were you about three in 1859?
Yeah. September 15th.
That was before the war.
It's interesting because it talks about Republicans and Democrats. If you open it up, and it's about ready to fall apart.
Oh, no doubt.
The newspaper, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
I thought you were talking about the country for a second.
But yeah. The country and the newspaper, yeah, both true. Today and back in 1859, were both about to fall apart. So I want to do something to get it preserved or to even hand it over to a historical society. Just
get it pressing in like a airtight.
Yeah, frame. I guess I can keep it. It's just
have you tried matches?
No? I don't even need to try matches. I'd leave that thing out in the sun and the rain and it'd be melted.
I wonder what the material of that paper is.
1850. It's just going to be cheap paper.
It's not going to be dolphin. Yeah.
Well, okay. So most newspaper is made from a cheaper wood. And that's the wood pulp has acid in it. And that's why it deteriorates and browns over time.
Another paper lecture.
Well, they treat, so some wood pulp is treated and then, you know, made white and you know, it's put bleaching agents are put in it, whitening agents are put into it, and buffing, you know, they try to buffer it so that it's not so acidic. So, but not all paper is made from trees. So some papers.
What were you? We know.
I talked about this, didn't I?
They call him Flipper.
No, we have talked about this. You know,
we have talked about it. That's why I just lost Chris. Cotton, you know, yeah. Like that, yeah. So
did we give Chris a timeout?
Also found out. It's looking really.
Oh, his daughter.
Oh, his daughter. Oh, I just saw. There's a. Okay, yeah.
It was like a scene from the Blair Witch Project.
Hi.
I thought it was Matt's house there for a second.
We had a guest on the podcast for a second. Yeah.
Yeah, it was my wife.
Oh, okay.
Are you guys recording?
Yes, we are.
No.
No.
I'm making an audio bit.
Are you on video?
Yeah.
I know years ago, you were talking about old stuff. I was working in mailbox, et cetera. I was manager there. And this old guy brought in a phone book from Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Well, the phone book was just one piece of paper.
Wow. Yeah.
And
wow.
It was just a small thing.
It was a phone pamphlet.
Right. Yeah. And it was like 1900, whatever it was. And he wanted me to put it laminated. I said, well, I don't have anything this small. He goes, well, cut it. I go, I really don't want to cut it. I go, I really don't want to cut it. He goes, no, cut it. Because I want it to be laminated. So I cut it. And he goes, what the hell are you doing? He starts screaming at me and storms out. I go, you fucking moron. He just like scream. I go, and everyone, I go, you did hear him say cut it, right? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, cut it here. And he just like, every time someone brings up something old like that, it always goes back to that phone book. With this guy just screaming at me, and he's just yelling at me the whole time. I'm like going, "You are a fucking idiot! You're a fucking moron! You're no." And he was right, but I was like, he did tell me to cut it, but I was like, going anyway.
Did he tell you to cut it out?
No.
Ooh.
Yeah, he wasn't that. He wasn't that funny. But I remember holding.
Trying to make one full house.
Insert
joke.
Random Dave Coulier reference. I like it.
I want to say it's right there on USC campus. It has to be the Natural Science. There's the Science Center and the Natural Science Center, but I want to say it's in one of those two museums. There's a little section of the history of Los Angeles, and it shows that, you know, the population of, you know, basically from the city's founding all the way to present. But you look at, like, you know, it's like, 5,000 people, 7,500 people. It's like, it goes like every decade, and then you get to the 40s, and it's just like, boom, just shoots through the roof.
Well, because there was no reason to live there until the 40s.
Yeah.
And you know, just, that same thing with San Diego. It was like there was nobody there, because you see old pictures of the beaches and stuff like that, and you see that like La Jolla, which is like, it's like Beverly Hills of San Diego, and it's like going, oh my God, when did my relatives buy any of that property? Why? Why?
Well,
because they were drunks and, you know.
it's like There Will Be Blood, you know. One guy owned it all.
Exactly. Of course, there was no oil.
I'll
there
drink the your milkshake.
I got a milkshake. You got a milkshake.
I drink your milkshake.
It's a shame he retired.
Well, I think he just kind of felt every movie he's in, he basically gets nominated for Best Actor. It's like, where do you go from there? And he didn't need the money or anything.
So I'm the best, so.
Yeah.
I don't need to keep proving it.
Speaking of actors, I watched it. Is it on Amazon? I think it's on Amazon. The Val, V-A-L, about Val Kilmer.
Oh, Val Kilmer. I've been wanting to watch that.
That's pretty good. I didn't realize he was a method actor because, like, he's talking about.
Have you not seen Top Gun?
Yeah,
man. He actually locked himself in the freezer every morning before shooting Top Gun.
Well, like he talks a little bit about Top Gun, about how he really didn't want to be in Top Gun because he's like, I got you now, Chris.
We all got it pretty quick there, Nick. That's okay.
Well, I was on my one.
There you go.
I'm sorry. It was probably the worst joke I've ever fucking told.
It was better than my cut it out joke. So.
You know. That was a joke.
So yeah, he talks about he didn't actually want to be in Top Gun, but at that time he was still under contract. So with the studio, so he had to be in it. And of course, on the script, it said it had nothing really about him other than his lines. So he had to come up with this whole backstory about how he had an abusive father who always, you know, said he wasn't going to amount to anything. And so it made him always want to be the best. And so that's why Iceman. And so that's why I approached Iceman as this arrogant, like, I'm the best kind of person.
But it didn't, Maverick had the daddy.
I know, but that's just what he says.
Because every movie Tom Cruise does, he has daddy issues and you never hear him talk about his dad.
Right.
Just saying, just throwing out there. And he used to be my good friend, but now I'm banned.
It's still banned. Huh?
I sent a letter to Jack, the CEO of Twitter.
Oh yeah, he does.
Saying okay, I said okay. I did the whole if Teagan can have account, and now I've put Marjorie, what's her name, Congresswoman or whatever she
dipshit.
Is.
Oh yeah,
who's been saying stuff about? I go. Look, she's tweeting stuff about the vaccine and she got suspended for 7 days. I go, she's literally tweeting things that could kill people. Are you serious that I get banned for life? You threatened
to kill somebody.
I didn't threaten to kill anybody.
Time out. Time out. Hold on. Did I miss something?
Oh, you weren't here last week.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
You get banned from Twitter? Jack got banned from Twitter. Yeah.
He
got banned.
You know what? We actually trained it. We tried to put it in the show title.
Is that funny? Listen.
Spanos reported you for fucking like
all the years of Spanos.
Oh,
what? You know, so you're permanently banned from Twitter
on that account?
Yeah. Which one?
My regular one, my Crackpot Jack.
Crackpot Jack.
Really?
The one I've had for 11 years, and this is what I said. I don't know if you remember Dave Stewart, pitcher for the Oakland A's, Dodgers, all these. He was a pitching coach for the Padres. Back in the 90s when they went to the World Series and stuff, he never smiled. Dude, he just would sit there like this, go. And then we'd go out to the pitch. He'd go out to the mound to talk to the pitchers. People say, what do you think he's saying? Throw strikes or I'll kill you. That's what I tweeted. And that got me banned for life. I said, wow. Really? I go, Christy Teigen can literally tell someone to go kill themselves and bully other people. She still has an account. This woman, and I was naming all these different people that have done things that are just terrible things. I go, this congresswoman is basically saying the vaccines are killing people, and yet she still has an account. She got suspended for 7 days. So anyway.
By the way,
Chris, does that mean all of your Twitter history is now deleted?
I can get a... a record, I guess, or something.
Let's find
like
out.
Well, no, no, you can't get on there. I'm banned. You
can't even look at him, I don't think.
You can't. I'm banned.
Chris, I realize that you didn't listen to the last week, but we named the episode Jack Off Twitter. I don't know how much clearer we can.
Now like, I still have Crazy Hank TV.
Yeah, yeah, he's been doing crazy.
But Crackpot, dude, that's.
And I even said crazy. It. I go.
I mean, I'm missing out. I'm gonna NFL season's coming up.
I'm gonna be missing out on
catch or
play by play.
Can you believe that or not there?
Yeah. So I'm still working on it.
So I'm sorry to rehash shit that you guys already talked about. I apologize, but I'm fucking curious about this. So did you quote this person in your tweet, or did you just tweet out "Crow Strikes are going to kill you"?
What was happening is the Padre fans are pissed at the current pitching coach, Larry Rothschild. Yeah. They said, "Who should we hire as pitching coach?" They want the old Balsley, the guy that was there before. I said, "What about Dave Stewart? You know, throw strikes or I'll kill you."
So you said, "What about Dave Stewart, comma quotation, throw strikes or I'll kill you?"
I didn't quote it. I said, "What about Dave Stewart?" You didn't
put quotes around it.
No, I didn't put quotes around it.
Throw strikes or I'll kill
you. You probably wouldn't be suspended if you quoted it.
That's right.
Yeah,
but it's something that I used to say all the time, and other fans.
But nobody knows that.
But yeah. That's why I put it in the appeal. I said it's just a comment that we used to make when he was, you know, it's just like I said. You're taking. I could see. Give me 24 hours or a warning. I go, but really, Christy Teigen still has an account.
I agree with you that there are other people that are killing people.
Yeah.
I mean, when people are basically telling people, hey, you know.
Were you reported by somebody or was it filtered?
It just must have been the algorithm.
So I can picture the algorithm is that if anybody quotes, I will kill you, it probably gets flagged.
Right.
Yeah.
Just like
I'll kill you.
Or if you put out, you know,
kids.
And
you know, you can't do that, Jack.
Well, no, you can. And you can still keep your account. Go kill yourself.
Seems like that should be up with I will kill you. Because
there are people that have
been cyberbullied to death. And that's a proven fact.
And so, I put in the thing. I said, I go 11 plus years of being on Twitter, never been reported, never done anything sexist, violent, racist. I've never called people names and attacked people except, okay, maybe Dean Spanos, but I've never done anything. This is not me telling someone that I'm going to kill them.
So I have no idea what the level of follow-up Twitter has with these types of situations, but I have to imagine that if someone is reviewing these appeals, which I'm assuming you're appealing in some way, you appeal?
Yeah, they keep sending me something back saying we've reviewed it and your ban remains. I go, can I speak to a live person? Is there someone I could speak to?
The person who's reviewing that has like no connection to sports whatsoever.
I put it in the sport how it was in the 90s and how the sports and this. I go, any Padre fan that followed the Padres in the 90s.
What if they actually forgave you for that tweet, but then they looked at your history and saw all the. Fuck you, Spanos. I hope you die, Spanos.
I never said I hope you die, Spanos.
You got some collateral against your name.
I've never spelled out fuck. F-U, Spanos. That could mean anything.
Just saying, they might think Florida University's got to get anger issues, you know.
But no, it's never done anything. I'm sorry.
Here's the thing.
If
this algorithm picks Jack out of the crowd for that action, which I understand, like blind take on this, I understand why it happened. I don't necessarily think it's just because I don't think it was intended in the way that they're banning you for. I know it's not intended the same way, but like to think about all the real shitty people out there.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
It's good to know that there's a low threshold for this type of bullshit.
But I even said, I could understand that I used the word kill, and okay, I understand now. I can't do that, even though it was in a different way of what you're thinking it was. I go, but still, how about, hey, you can't use that here. I mean, it's not like I have a long list of people reporting me over 11 years and everything. I've never been warned. Never. It just
finally
was like,
worked.
I do like to think that somehow Dean Spanos is behind it.
Fuck Dean Spanos. Fuck See? Him.
Yep. Yeah, definitely fuck Dean.
Or the person that's looking at this, they've looked back at it and they're like, he's a fucking Padres fan.
I'm just picturing an old guy. I'm picturing an old guy at a desk going, I don't care if I go bankrupt. I could lose all my staves. I could lose everything I got. But Jack, fuck that guy.
Someone from Twitter is like, he's used exactly 748 megabytes of space recording play-by-play for football. Let's get this fucker out of here.
People like those tweets. I'm sorry.
So what I started to say about Val, there's definitely a few things I thought were really neat about it.
I forgot we were talking about
Val Kilmer.
I'll go back to it.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good. It's sad because you see, because he had throat cancer and, he's got the, what they call tracheotomy. Yeah, the hole,
Tracheotomy,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Holy shit.
And that's so, he wears that scarf.
Scarf all the time, But of course, all the treatment that he had to have, like you can tell his jaw's kind of inflamed and like he doesn't look quite like he normally does. But I mean, you can tell he's in good spirits, and like he's still himself. He can't talk. So it's kind of sad in a way. But then there's like a lot of neat things he talked about how, when Tombstone came out, I was 12 when that movie came out. So I always think of Val Kilmer as like an established actor. He's been around forever, And, Willow, growing up with Willow and all these things like that. And he was only like 32 years old when he did Tombstone. And I'm like, damn. But then what was interesting is the final scene, when he dies in the hospital bed, he actually got the prop department to make the whole bed of ice, but you don't see. But that's what he did because he said, I needed to feel like I was in pain in order to kind of any kind of an emotional response to the struggle between my dying and then knowing I'm only going to see my best friend this last time, and like things like that he would do to get into character.
How did he do the whole cancer thing that he was in the whole movie? He's dying in Tombstone. He's dying the whole time.
But he doesn't get into that kind of detail, but like, he just tells you like little neat things about each film, not each, but it's a lot of them. But I do recommend it. It's neat. It's a good little documentary if you like Val Kilmer, and he kind of felt sorry for him, like especially like with his marriage, because basically the Doors kind of was the beginning of like, because he was so method. He goes, I worked on that picture for so long. All I was like Jim Morrison for a year, annoying the shit out of my wife, and like,
but incredible.
Yeah, incredible. Morris. Yeah,
and a beautiful lover too. I'm sure she enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah.
See what John the UPS guy says. Christina Applegate announced she has MS today.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus, man. Christ.
He's gone through some shit,
she
too.
She had breast cancer, too.
She did.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
And Marky Post had passed away, too.
Yeah, that's right. That's 70.
Yeah. That was another one that kind
before
of.
Before we get too depressed here, why has Randy been banned? He's been banned for a week from Twitter.
Because he wrote in with another joke. Yeah. I don't know if you knew this.
Okay.
So many dad jokes in a week will get you banned. That's true.
I'll go ahead and read Randy's.
Well, see, that's why life isn't fair, because Christina Applegate, I mean, she doesn't deserve to have it. I mean, no one deserves to have MS, but
no.
Relates it to it's called Stay Chill.
Who's this from?
This is from Randy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So our super fan. Says, stay chill. What kind of people don't get angry? Nomads. All right, we got a second email this week.
You didn't give us time to come up with the answer.
Well, it was just dead air, and that's kind of boring.
I was trying to think. Well,
Okay. Next time, Randy, I'll say it at the top of the hour, and then I'll reveal it at the end of the show.
You don't have to go on that long, because it won't think that.
No, well, yeah, maybe I won't remember it, but okay, we got another email this week, though.
Two? I'm skimming over, and I don't think you should read it.
Not from Raphael.
Oh, okay.
Raphael.
I'm talking about John. Fuck that guy. John here.
Who's John Raphael? Here. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe. Kind of maybe really. Jack really should just
wait. Who's Raphael?
Oh, Raphael was just blowing up our owner. That was the owner. It was kind of. We've been spammed like crazy because somebody.
Oh, so it's not a real person.
Yeah,
not a real person.
Oh, okay. I was like going, who the hell is Raphael?
How did a spammer get the force is well done at gmail.com into their like catalog of email addresses?
Yeah, it just and it's yeah.
I didn't know you guys had one.
Yeah.
Yeah. We say it every time we do a show.
Jack doesn't listen. He's only on the show once.
And he didn't even listen to the end.
Jack, did you hear the name of it, though? The Force is Well Done at gmail.com.
I like that. It's great.
Right?
Did you come up with that? You come up with that?
I did.
You're good at names, just not good at showing up, right? Is that what it is?
Exactly. It's true.
Guilty.
Maybe we'll just let Jack read it. We'll figure out if Jack can get to the email or not. So we won't read that one right now.
Unlikely.
Since Chris also doesn't know our email, I'll go ahead and read it for him. This email comes from Little Johnny.
I know the email. I just don't go on it.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, so you haven't read this email. This is new to you. So only Nick and I know its true meaning. Excellent. 1 hour and 38 minutes of bliss. Hi, Ramblecasters. John's listening live, so we'll see how much I got right and wrong.
Oh, it's from John, the UPS guy.
Johnny, UPS driver.
So this is going to suck.
After almost 54 years on this earth. Wow, 54. So you're like 10 years older than me. I decided to sit down Saturday night and watch The Princess Bride. At running time of 1 hour and 38 minutes, three of the four Ramblecasters love this movie. It must be fantastic, right? Well, I was deeply satisfied. Oh! I kept... No,
it's not. Oh. He didn't like it.
No, he did not like it. It's funny how the tables have turned.
Chris was a little premature there, but that's happened.
Yeah, all of a sudden, Jack's a little bit more satisfied now. I lost my place here.
I was considering the source.
I was deeply disappointed.
There we go. I kept waiting for it to get better, but it never did. At the end, I was left saying, that's what they said was so great. The sword fight was the only time I actually laughed out loud. You have no soul, sir. The worst part of the whole night was thinking to myself, damn, Jack is right. Jack, I'll save you some time. Don't bother watching the rest of the movie. I think my time will be better spent watching a future Ramblecast. Well, thank you for joining us, Johnny.
Wow.
Take care, guys, and go fuck yourselves. Giants.
Yeah, teach their own.
John, the UPS. No, he did. He said go Giants. I just thought it would be funny.
He might as well say go fuck yourself. Fuck your Giants.
I don't watch baseball and it doesn't matter to me.
I'm just going to chalk it up to he waited too late in life to really appreciate the childhood wonder and adventure,
but that's what I said. I said maybe it's just one of those movies that you had to watch back in the day.
Oh no, because the thing is though, as you progressively watch this movie growing up, you know, you see it first when you're a kid, and you get like 15% of the comedy in the movie, and as you get older and older,
I was gonna say there wasn't 15% of comedy in the movie.
Oh God, so honest, this is striking me as crazy, right? Because in my 41 years of life, I have literally never once heard anybody, let alone two people, shit on Princess Bride.
I didn't shit on it. I just said I don't think I've ever
heard anybody speak ill about this movie. Ever. I'm not even exaggerating. I don't think anyone has ever said that.
What does it get on Rotten Tomatoes?
It's getting a 98%.
I bet it's pretty high.
I'm just joking. I don't know. I'm pretty high myself.
But I can see it's like one of Chris's favorite movies is The Goonies. And I could totally understand someone in their 50s or even 40s who've never watched The Goonies ever, and they wait to as an adult to watch The Goonies, they might go, I don't get it.
And for the record, Princess Bride has a Rotten Tomato score of 97.
Whoo! I was close with my guess. Damn.
97.
Okay. So you guys are the 3%ers, huh?
Like I said, I didn't bag it. I just said I didn't think it was that.
He doesn't even know how the movie ends.
I think for me too.
Well, for me too. Remember, I was distracted because I had two kids running around.
See, I think you like through life, and this is how I feel about the Princess Bride. And maybe it's right. Maybe we watched it when we were in our youth, and it'll forever be with us. But yeah. I think that you're either the kid, you're either the like or, part of the love story,
Wesley, yeah,
or yeah. You're the grandpa.
Your grandpa. Yeah.
Those are the three characters.
What about the parts where you're sleeping?
Or I guess you could be the guy for revenge, but then it's not your movie. You know, the movie is the love story between Wesley. And Princess Buttercup, and the love that is shared between a grandfather to a grandson. And personally, I love how that ends.
Again,
the cast is incredible.
And another thing too is, well, you have great cast where the movies suck.
It's true.
Randy, you're correct. That is inconceivable.
So I don't think you know what that word means. I'm just saying. I'm just saying that
it's still wrong.
I'm just saying that, you know, especially when someone tells you it's such a great movie, then you sit down to watch it. And I did laugh once in the first 25 minutes or the only 25 minutes I saw of the movie. Something when they were, it might've been the sword fight.
That blows my mind because that's like, I'm trying to think of a nice way to say this, but The Princess Bride is full of the shitty humor that you fucking love, Jack.
I know. I get it. I get it. I love
like,
that.
It's almost as if you helped write the movie.
I could see Jack not getting past the bald guy. Like him just being like, what? Like you being mad at that.
Well, because the bald guy's always a dick or an asshole, right? Yeah. That's just normal. That's just I get it. But and that guy is usually always a dick or an asshole.
Now, it's kind of like I know I told Matt this story. Like 2014, you know, my friend has in grad school.
Space Odyssey.
No, not that. Yeah. Now, my friend who's from Kenya that I was in grad school with couldn't go to sleep, and he's like, "Hey, Nick, can I come over and watch a movie?" I said, "Sure." And so I played him A New Hope because he'd never seen any Star Wars.
And he
looked at me like I had lost my mind. Because think about it, you know, you're in your late 20s, early 30s, and you're especially when you have no concept of what Star Wars is, and all you see basically for the first 30 minutes of that film is a golden statue in this round dome thing just beeping and talking back and forth to each other. It's like, what the hell am I watching? You know? And I just was like, oh, okay, you don't like it. That's weird.
But another problem with that, because he didn't grow up, he grew up on special effect movies, so it's not a big deal.
I don't think that's true, but I don't think he grew up really watching a lot of movies, period.
That's true, too.
What is this moving picture? What is the light figure?
Not everybody likes sci-fi, even though I don't consider Star Wars to be sci-fi.
But he grew up training for marathons, right?
He is that build, yeah.
Hmm. I do think that the opening to A New Hope, which going back, I like it because of, but it's of the time that it's slower. It's more, that it has a lot more breath to it, you know? I mean,
more Lucas story.
Is coming out of the Francis Ford Coppola, Steven Spielberg, like, you know, they were all.
Yeah. I mean, I have a similar thing with people, because I told this one guy I used to work with, I said, hey, I go, you're going to watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. It's the funniest fucking movie you're ever going
to
see.
That's something else we need to talk about.
We do need to talk about
Chris
this.
Chris is not privy to that either.
Okay, so let us ask Chris. Do you have
notice how that only got one vote, and it was Jack's vote.
So what? I don't care. I'm still going to laugh at it, thinking that that's what it is.
Okay.
All right, go ahead and ask Chris, because he is just like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? No one's in the show. Oh,
you want me to? Okay, yeah, sorry. Okay, so last week I was reading the chat. Anyway, all right. So last week, I don't know how it came up, but we were talking about things like we always do, And the scene from, from Planes, Trains, Automobiles of the two pillows came up in discussion. And then Jack throws out this curveball of what do you think the two pillows was? And Matt and I both go, it was the butt cheeks. And Jack is in the firm camp that his hand was touching Steve Martin's balls.
It was around his balls. Yeah.
Around his balls.
You remember the line, right?
Those aren't two pillows.
Yeah. He goes, where are your other hand between two
pillows?
What
do you think the two pillows are?
What do you think the two pillows are? There's a third vote as well as thigh gap. But Matt and I believe it's butt cheeks.
Butt cheeks. 100% butt cheeks.
Because I would not have reacted that way if he's holding my butt cheeks.
Do you think he has his hands like smoothly between the butt cheeks and then touching and cupping them? What is going on? How is he getting to the balls?
Because he goes right through.
It's all the way through. It's all the way through.
Yeah.
Mike voted butt too. So, poll results are in: 39 votes butt cheeks, 8 thighs, and 1 vote for balls.
Which is Jack.
By the way, I accidentally also voted for butt cheeks.
It's funnier if it's balls. That's the problem with the Princess Bride. They didn't take all my
take any ball jokes. There's none of the ball jokes in Princess Bride.
But anyway, so this guy he watches it and he goes, that movie was terrible. I go, what are you fucking talking? I go, I didn't laugh once. I go, I'm Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. You didn't laugh one time.
How do you not laugh one time?
Not possible.
He goes, I said, what's a funnier movie? He goes, Clifford the Dog. I go,
fuck off. Stop associating with this person.
I haven't talked to him in a while. But he's the one that Miami Mike will remember. He was the one that was upset that Pan Am got canceled.
Oh. I was upset.
Fuck this guy.
I liked Pan Am.
He was the one that had never
seen. That's literally like three of the stupidest fucking sentences I've ever heard constructed.
He's the one that when he had never. I didn't know we were going to see Star Wars, the 7th episode. And so we're driving to the theater. All of us coming down. And he goes, so what's this about? I go, I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. He goes, no. What's this all about? I go, I haven't seen it yet. I haven't even watched the previews. He goes, no, this whole Star Wars thing. I haven't seen any of them. I go, so you're going to watch the 7th one and not having seen any of them.
Oh. You're in for a lifetime disappointment there.
I just want to point out Will's comment.
It's not Russ. Russ loves Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
I want to point out Will's comment from Facebook. He says, how are you going to get your hand up someone's butt cheeks while both are asleep? Would be too tight, but Steve Martin was skinny. His thighs wouldn't be as difficult. Also, you can actually get between thighs. His hands would have nearly just been
It'd be much easier to grab his balls, though.
How long did you guys dedicate to talking about this?
It
was a good while. Yeah,
I broke out the charts. Like the diagram.
People were having a good time.
We had a magic bullet theory.
Yeah,
drawing of the hand.
I even sent Steve Martin a tweet message on.
You see his hand. You see his hand.
That's part of how you got suspended.
No. This is
things being Steve Martin's butt cheeks.
No, this is on the other Twitter account. I said, Mr. Steve Martin. I go, can you explain to me in the movie what were the two pillows? What body parts were the two pillows? And he didn't. He said, "Fuck you! I'm not answering you."
You know what? I bet if he was at a convention where you paid for his autograph, he would answer that question.
Yes. Randy says half the show was Twitter ban, and the other half was Steve Martin's balls.
That's basically what the episodes were.
Okay, so by Will's account, I believe this is what we were talking about here.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah,
we're talking about
what the fuck.
Now, if we take that logic, and if we magically see through, technically there could be some ball action in there. So there is an actual
I think that's what freaked
could
him
be
out.
All four. Could be all three.
He was touching the ball.
Or all three, yes.
It could be
the fourth option is why he reacted the way he did. He's not very reactive. He's holding his black. He's going to be like, dude, that's my ass. Get your hand off my ass.
But if you're a writer, okay, all right, hang on. I'll engage in this conversation.
Technically, I've written a script. I am a writer.
So if you're a writer and you're writing the script and you're going for the joke or the gag that the man who's spooning grabs the other dude's balls, you're not going to write that story as growing through the thighs like a fucking pancake and expanding and going and cupping the balls. You would just simply make it the joke a reach around, pretending that it was like his wife, right?
There you go.
Like no one would write that joke as let's make our way through the dude's legs and up and grab the balls. It would definitely be written as a reach around, an unintentional reach around at that. But that's how it would be. It would never be written that way. So I think that Will's idea, although graphically represented very well, Matt, is invalid.
Jack did write Pleasure Ranch.
I did.
Okay, this, and I drew this in red just to clarify, this is what I think is happening.
No.
Yeah, the hand is between the two.
It's only one hand.
One hand, yeah.
I like that idea of two hands.
Because he says, where's your other hand?
He says, between two pillows.
He goes, those aren't two pillows. And he freaks out. He's been kissing his ear and all this other stuff. You think he's really going to get that upset if his hand is touching his butt?
It's not touching his butt. His hand is wedged between the crack.
Yeah.
No, there's no way he got between. Because he would, if someone wedges a hand between your
crack. Steve Martin is a thin guy.
You're going to feel that.
Yeah.
It could have
I still
say that, okay, he might have been touching the butt, but he was also touching the balls. I win.
I think
Matt Treese in the chat brings up a great point. He goes, we started off with a memoriam, and now we're on to butt cheeks versus balls.
You know what?
That's pretty much what you get at the Ramblecast.
It's true. That's a wide gambit that we have to talk about things. And to bring it back, though, to cancer, whether it's somebody else reaching around or it's yourself, you know, as a man, checking your balls for...
He was checking his prostate. That's what it was.
Right. Well, you can't don't check your own.
River.
I'm saying
that's what I'm saying is that the way that his script is written is he's giving him an exam.
Mm-hmm. Will's right.
No, just that'd be painful. Don't do that way.
life is painful.
Speaking of reach arounds, did anybody see the Suicide Squad at all?
I did not.
I almost went, and then my sister said that she thought it was too silly. So
I tweeted I was going to watch it, and I'm going to watch the Suicide Squad, and I got banned.
How is it too silly?
My sister said she didn't enjoy it, so I didn't watch it. I will though.
So I've heard overwhelmingly positive reviews from people I know who have seen it, and my biggest question was, if I haven't seen the first Suicide Squad, can I see this one?
You can just jump right into it.
And I guess it's a very standalone movie. So eventually I'll find time to watch it.
I'm sorry?
Who's in it? What?
Idris Elba. And that's why I'm like,
Oh, he's in it?
John Cena's in it too? Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So great.
I don't think I've ever seen a bad Idris Elba movie.
Range of different people, but I will admit that
what's it about?
Tried to. Would you stop fucking interrupting?
Well, I'm asking questions. Nobody cares.
I know. Doesn't matter. Fuck my reason for watching it. No, I just dadded this movie. Okay, two nights in a row, I sat down. I'm like, Suicide Squad. I've been looking forward to this. I pop open one of my Bramble Mules. I drink it. I get like an hour in, and then I'm asleep.
Can you watch it on TV?
It was on HBO.
HBO Max. Yeah.
You popped open your what meal?
You have to pay for it?
No.
No, just with your subscription. It's not anything extra. So
what meal did you HBO pop Max. Open?
A Bramble Mule. It's a drink that I have. It's like you've seen me drink them on here. I'll go get one.
Sorry, I don't want to pay attention.
Okay, Mr. I'm not on Twitter. It's me, you know? Like I want to talk about
You're losing friends right and left, Jack.
You need StreamYard. StreamYard's gonna bot and ban you.
Maria Shriver is no longer my friend. So,
see?
So two nights in a row, I dabbed in this movie anything. Where I watched it, fell asleep, drinking, finally watched the last act and loved it. So
are you saying dadded this movie? Like you're a dad?
Yeah, like I dadded this. Yeah, like oh, I so sat down.
Oh, okay, got it.
Sat down to watch a movie and fell asleep.
Is that a Princess Bride joke?
I dadded the movie. Like no, I just cut off the whole, and then I wake up and the credits are rolling and I'm like, fuck. Oh,
if it was a Princess Bride joke, he would say, "It took one whole year off my life. How does that make you feel?" But you wouldn't get that, Jack, because you haven't watched Princess Bride.
That's good humor.
I wanted to do something different for the patrons tonight for our, and for the lack of me coming up with names.
Before we get to the Galena.
I'm not getting to the ending yet. What? No. I'm going to do a little bit of Mad Living. Okay. So I'm going to have you guys fill in some of the blanks here. So I need a verb. Any verb.
Shart.
Shart. Okay.
Okay.
And now I need a noun from somebody else. A noun. Any noun.
Foreskin.
Bride. Foreskin.
Foreskin.
This is just going to the nether regions all the time.
Maybe this was a bad idea. Okay, Jack, you're up next. I need an adjective from you.
Two pillows.
That's two pillows. Okay.
It's a plural noun, but
okay. I'm going to put that in the noun section. Thank you for keeping me honest.
How about fluffy?
Fluffy. Thank you.
Fluffy, there you go. Okay.
All right, Nick. To you, an adverb.
Did we just do an adverb?
No, we did an adjective. Fluffy. An adverb is.
I was told there'd be no math.
I know exactly. This one. I was like, "Fuck! I haven't done this since like fifth grade."
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to remember that.
Jack's googling what is adverb.
No, I'm trying to remember that Saturday morning thing. A noun is a person, place, or a thing.
Pass.
All right, give me a noun.
Yeah, I know nouns.
Lincoln.
Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln. Person, place, or thing. Right.
Stump.
I can't say that.
Stump.
Why are you asking me and you don't take my...
No, I asked Nick. Nick was next. I needed one from him. I got Fluffy from you.
I passed on adverb.
He passed on adverb, so it goes to you, Jack, because I already got two from Chris. I need an adverb from you. Okay, it can be an adjective. Okay?
Frequently. Frequently.
Ooh, boom.
Because adverb's an action. Verb is an action, right?
Describing action.
Okay, go ahead. Give me a noun,
How,
Jack.
Time, where... How, when?
A noun, Tom Brady. I guess I have more respect for Tom Brady today.
Is that? Yeah, I guess it is a noun. Is a person a noun?
Is this
person, place, a thing?
Yeah.
Person, place,
okay.
Or thing.
Okay.
A noun is a person, place, or thing.
Now I need a verb.
Running.
All right.
There you go.
I think we're about done. Okay, Jack, now we can go on
Jack
to the rest of the
Saturday
show.
Morning cartoons.
So,
thanks, guys.
This
is going to be great.
That would have been a good one.
Keeping in the vein of the TV and movies and shows and stuff, I actually started watching C on Apple TV Plus.
C as in S-E-E,
like Vision.
Oh, okay.
Fucking cool, man. Like, I decided to watch it because I know season 2 is coming out soon.
Is the only way to get Apple TV is to have an Apple TV?
No.
What's the other ways you can get it?
Pretty much every other way. So Apple TV Plus is a subscription. It's the app already lives in your phone when you get your phone. It's on iPad. You can download it. I have it on my TV's operating system. I have the app on my TV. So
okay, that's what I meant. Like, yeah. Like.
Yeah. But anyway, so the story is very, very cool. So it's a post-apocalyptic world. Where a disease ravaged the world in very apropos, you know, it actually came out about a year before. Miami Mike. Yeah. I'll get to that in a second. But the show is about, this world in which this disease took away vision from everybody. So it's like a genetic mutation, that causes everyone born to be blind. And then there's the main characters. There's a few different main characters. I think, I'm not sure, but I think one of the characters is the actually the girl from Loki. The I might be wrong about that. I'm going to double check in a second. But anyways, there's two characters in the show that actually do have vision, and they grow up having vision. And it's a really interesting look at how the world just kind of like devolves into this like almost unrecognizable civilization where they revert to different types of like deities and this type of the other, and how they try to bring these two kids to like to profit out to the prophecy of like being able to repopulate the world of folks who can see.
Didn't Sandra Bullock do a movie like this though?
It was Bird Box.
Bird Box, yeah. Wasn't it similar?
She was blindfolded.
Yeah, because if you looked at it, you'd go blind, right, or something like that.
That was nuts.
No, it'd kill you. It was kind of like
the only similarity is the
they couldn't see.
Okay,
guess they're blind. But the show is actually really, really cool. I mean, I'm enjoying. I'm almost through the first season. It's a very
show.
Interesting watch. Yeah, well, it's a TV show on Apple TV Plus. Mm-hmm. This next season's coming out, and Dave Bautista is part of the cast for season two. So we'll see how it goes, but. I'm enjoying it, man. It's a lot of fun. Like, it's definitely a different take on that type of science fiction-y post-apocalyptic story.
I might check that out because I like cool. that kind of stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, Jason Momoa is in it. I want to pull up the cast and crew real quick. C-cast.
You think he does steroids?
Jason Momoa? Probably. I don't know.
So, Nesta Cooper.
Have you seen him on Baywatch and then you see him on...
Oh no, she was okay. She's from Travelers. That's who it was. The African American woman from Travelers, the one who has the kid.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, that's who I was confused. I think I actually confused her with the woman from Loki as well. They look very, very similar.
First, I thought you were going to say it was Carl Weathers.
No. Okay. No.
He's not.
I loved him in Rocky. I mean, no.
You fucked up the joke.
Star Wars. Damn it!
Yeah. It worked. He was great in Rocky.
But yeah, it's got a very decent cast. A lot of people know name actors, but you have Jason Momoa is kind of the lead role. But he's actually it's interesting how you think of him as a lead role, but it's almost like there's like multiple leads in the show as the first season progresses. It really kind of takes a story spotlight from Jason Momoa, who's like kind of like the chief of this tribe, but then. The kids become super important because these kids are growing up with vision. So the focus of the story kind of starts to follow them. And Momoa almost becomes like a supporting role in the show.
So is this a different world? Or is it?
No, Earth? It's Earth. It's Earth. Yeah.
In the future?
In like a thousand or few thousand years in the future. The whole Earth is like overgrown and civilization has declined. And literally the only people on Earth are blind. Everybody on Earth is blind, so it's like how they built like their civilizations up and how they rebuilt society and you know there's one group of people who actually live in a dam in Pennsylvania, and it's renamed to worship the god that they create to answer their questions, and there's like these people
always,
who are kind of
I always think about that with like things that like, people would look back a thousand years and find our things and be like right. Oh. They worshipped these things.
Right.
You know, exactly. They traded them like money.
Hold on a second. You do.
No.
But as an archaeologist, you would know. Because think about if you actually did find Star Wars figures in every home, which a lot of people have, especially
or
Jay's
any
home.
Kind of figure,
there's a lot of little gods that Jay has in his room.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. It is.
Anyways, it's rad, man. Like it's a really cool
and there's storytelling. There's two seasons or just one season?
There's one season out now. The second season, I believe, comes out next month or soon ish.
I will check that. I think I remember seeing that came out when it first Apple.
Yeah, TV that was one. That out. Was one of the launch titles of the Apple TV Plus subscription. Oh. It was one of the first.
Because I thought it was like he does a show. I think it's on Netflix. Frontier had two seasons. I thought, oh, that's just another Frontier show. That's why I didn't watch it. Mm. But now it has a whole new meaning now.
It's really cool how they kind of like tell the story about how their other senses are heightened. It's not like supernatural in any sense whatsoever. But it's really cool to kind of see the methodology they use to film this show, like the different things they do to try and sense
the acting has to be different too. Because
it's wild. It's actually really, really cool. And I believe I may be wrong about this, but I remember when they first started premiering the idea for the show, how it was going to be coming out on Apple TV Plus. I believe that they actually do have there was a significant contribution from folks who are visually impaired in how to make the movie and how to make it right. So, definitely check it out. It's
I will check that because I saw Mike because I liked him in Frontier and some other things. Obviously, Game of Thrones. So I will check that out. Is it as good as Ted Lasso though?
I mean, that's pretty tough. So I ordered a jersey.
Nice.
I got a Roy Kent jersey on its way from, which is weird because Warner Brothers owns the rights, I believe, to all the marketing of the show. Huh. So you have to get their swag from the Warner Brothers store.
Have you been watching season two?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I love his. I don't want to spoil anyone, but
Led Tasso. You guys talk. I mean, but I'm not going to listen.
No, I'm talking about the listeners. I really didn't care about anybody here in the chat. Sure. No, I'm just saying that where his new job. Let's say how he.
Oh, Roy Kent's new job.
Yeah.
It's brilliant,
and it's really what people want to hear.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right, Matt, you can come back.
Yeah. I remember bringing this up when it came out like a month ago or so. Did anyone ever get around to watching A Quiet Place Part 2?
I never saw the first one.
I saw the first one.
Man. Yeah, like, Chris, you should watch.
So I don't like those movies. Like, the whole monster thing is like...
It's more of a suspense family movie than anything else. Because, like, the first one, yes, you do have these creatures that are trying to kill you, but you rarely see them. It's more
the...
The first one is more about, like, the dad and the mom trying to help guide their children through this new world that nobody knows shit about because they just know that something's trying to kill them. And so it's like, how do we protect and teach our children to survive?
Yeah.
The second one is a continuation of that. But whereas in the first one is more about the parents, the second one is really more about the kids and how they have begun to learn to survive. And I think they're great, great little films.
I like the first one. It was good.
The themes you're mentioning, you would really like see. Like, I mean, I think that's because that it doesn't just focus on like the two kids and how they're doing it. It really shows how humanity did it. You know,
well, that's what made me think of it. Is that you talking about that? It's like, oh, it kind of reminds me of A Quiet Place. Yeah.
I still got to finish For All Mankind. I'm still watching.
Chugging away at that.
John apparently just wants us to end the show so we can get to Matt's Libs.
To Matt's
Libs. Let's do it.
Okay. Fine. We'll end it now. Oh, I need one more adjective.
That's Nick's department.
One adjective.
Crusty.
Crusty?
Crusty.
All right. This is fun. Hopefully the patrons enjoy this and they don't leave us. Maybe I'll do it next week.
Better how we like it.
Whoa, hey.
You know.
Do I have you read it or should I read it? I should probably.
I'm going to let you take the credit and or blame for this one.
Okay, that sounds fair. If you like what we do, thank you. And we appreciate it. Send us an email to rcadcast@gmail.com. Follow us over on Twitter. We are back on Twitter because somehow we figured out our password, and that's helpful.
That is pretty. I gotta say, the new password made me laugh.
Yeah, that was
that was pretty funny. Was that you?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, okay. That was pretty funny.
I'll share it with you guys afterwards.
Because I think I temporarily got us banned on that one too.
Oh, really? Okay.
I think that's because my Crackpot Sports one is banned. Mm.
Oh wow!
I don't know how they haven't gotten to Crazy Ink TV yet, but I'm not.
They're coming for you.
Oh, dude, they're panning your entire existence. Exactly. This is fucking wild.
Yeah.
Randy said the new password made him laugh too.
Thanks for tweeting it out.
Oh, that was a secret?
Forever in Blue Jeans 54.
I can only imagine if we just handed over the Twitter account to Randy.
Last week, Chris, we had a special guest last week.
We did, yeah. Filling in, we were just kind of running out of gas, and then JP jumped on and I sent
him the link. I just said, fuck it.
I think
we were running out of gas. We got to a dispute and we needed JP's opinion, I thought.
Was it about the hands?
Something.
Jack just created a fucking alternate reality. And Nick brought us back. No, Jack, we actually called him with purpose.
Well, the thing was is that he actually sent us the link. Like, I don't know if you noticed that, but Jack sent
Jack totally became an old man too. Like, I sent him the link. I don't know why he's not answering. He's like, to us, Jack. My bad.
Hey,
let's not be an ageist.
Allegedly, I might have been drinking.
Because teenagers do the same thing.
I might have been drinking, but of course Matt was higher than a kite. So
yeah, I don't know.
That. No, you were. I think you were. You had that glazed look on your.
I always have that glazed look on my.
Do you remember when I was a fat baby?
that was this week.
So good.
I had the munchies of the baby.
Fat baby.
All right, Mad Libs.
All right, Mad Libs. Thanks for joining us this week. Head over to jayandjack.com. Click on the Patreon link.
Slaughtered, okay. I learned it from you, Dad.
There's a few patrons that make this show possible, and at this point, we will read Matt's Libs.
That's a great title for the show, though.
Matt will read Matt's Libs.
I will read Matt's Libs. Lids?
Oh, wait. So you made a Mad Lib out of the words that you asked us for to describe.
That's what he said.
The
he
patrons.
Do.
Yeah.
Dude, that's fucking lazy. You're outsourcing your job.
Yeah.
I'm being creative, okay?
And also, you weren't forthcoming with what these words are going to be used for.
I think I was pretty clear.
Had I known what these adverbs, adjectives, nouns, and verbs would be going to, I probably would have been way nicer.
Yeah.
But I think this is part of your master plan.
We could lose patrons because of this.
I got to defend Matt on this. I understood the whole time what we did. Thank you.
You said, no, he said, I've got something for the listeners. I'm thinking he created a nice little story that we were going to help build.
He said, I'm going to do something different, and you guys are going to help out.
Yeah.
You're going to help me come up with the thing I do with the Patreon.
I did.
Bullshit.
I said that.
He said, I don't remember that. And look, I don't always defend Fat Baby, but Fat Baby was right on this
Fat
one.
Fat Baby.
He was only fat.
That's fine. I would like that if that was my nickname for the rest of my life. Hey, fat baby, come over here. And I'm
trying to fit in his blue jeans.
All right, remember, patrons, these names came from the minds of the other three. And just keep in mind, we had a very, very sincere, powerful first half hour.
It started with Nick's great song.
And on that note, I'd like to thank Shark Tack Tom Brady, Krusty Eckhart Foreskin Richter, Fluffy Ed Two Pillows, Maggie Frequently Running, and Joanne with the Stump Stink Pipe. Thank you for doing what you do, for making this show possible. That was probably one of the best ones. And I promised Sherry that I would do it this week. This was a great show. It was one in a million. Thanks for joining us live. Appreciate it.
That was the best one ever.
Bravo, everybody else but Matt, because we fucking did it.